The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man, Adama, ground, dirt, whom he had formed, Yatsar, he had shaped. And out of the ground the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now when he says it's pleasant to the sight, it's beautiful. Do you think it's good for food? I mean, it is absolutely great fruit off of those trees. The best ever. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Now, we're going to find out that tree of life could also be given to sinners. If sinners had access to the tree of life, they would live forever in sin. That's why they're going to set up those cherubim to make sure that Adam and Eve can't get back to the tree of life, because it would be horrible to live your entire eternity as a sinner, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Okay. And the tree of knowledge and good and evil. That's what we're going to be dealing with. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. Now, when we come across a name like that, if it's a big word, big name, how do we pronounce it? Here it is. Here's the rule. It's the way I pronounce it. That is the correct, that is the correct way to pronounce it. Now, here's my problem. Jimmy, this is my problem. I got to do it again the next time it comes up. I got to pronounce it the same way. Because you guys are sharp. You'll catch me. You say, well, you didn't pronounce it that way before. So it's the Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river, and this is the only one I recognize, is the Euphrates. All of these beautiful gems and gold. Remember that goal we went through when we first started the study with Satan and God's throne and all those jewels? It's the same jewels. And those same jewels are found in the new heaven and new earth one day. They're there. If you go back in Revelation 22 and you read through it, you'll find these same stones and gold right there. And so what we're going to do is, in this life, we're going back to the tree of life. That's where we're on our way back to the tree of life. That's that Revelation 22 passage. That's exciting. Okay, here we go. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Enjoy. Now, that's my addition there. Enjoy. Eat, eat, eat. Love it. Then verse 17, the first negative. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day, now this is called a Hebrew idiomatic expression. Now I'm going to give you a little test on that when you leave. Make sure you remember that. What it really means is prophet speak. Old Testament prophet speak. This is an idiom. And what it means is at the moment. At the moment, at the exact moment, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now the Hebrew here is very complicated. Hebrew's always been complicated for me anyway. But this is a real complicated dying here. What it says is, in the Hebrew, dying, that is, the moment you eat, dying, you will start to die. Dying, you will surely, most positively die. That is, you're going to die how many times? You're going to die twice. When you eat, you're going to die spiritually. That's that spirit. Severed from death means separation. That spirit's going to die right then. Dying, that's that first death. And because you died spiritually, ultimately they're going to die physically. That's like I said, 930 years later, they died physically, okay? But they started to die the moment, we're going to see that Eve gave the fruit to Adam, who was the representative of God. Now, I'm going to tell you about that just a little bit later on. But here we go. You will surely die. Dying, you will most positively die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And every man said,
Amen.
That's you're supposed to say, yay, oh, that's right. Man, that's great. Wonderful. I will make him a slave. Is that what it says? No, it says a helper. This is the word etzer. Etzer in the Hebrew. Someone to come alongside of him, watch this, and help. I could not make it without my bride. Couldn't make it. She's my helper. We're partners. Listen, we are. And that's the way God designed it. She is my helper, comparable to him, just like him. And then he says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Adam was what we call a specimen. Man, he was much of a man. Physically, because he didn't fall far from the tree. He's just been created. And mentally, whoo, he is extremely intelligent. So God's going to say, you're going to name all these animals. I'm going to put you in that position. Because Adam was, like I said, he was quite a specimen. And to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. Now listen to this. Here's the contrast. Those little ands, ors, nors, and buts are so important. When you come across those ands, ors, nors, or buts, circle in your Bible. Because they're there for a reason. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. That is, every animal sent out a mating call. Hey! And then he had somebody answer. Not somebody, but an animal answer. He had a mate answer. They sent out a mating call, answer. Mating call, answer. But when Adam sent out a call, silence. No answer. No answer. So here's what happens. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. Look at verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He gave Adam a supernatural anesthesia. I just put that in there. But you get the idea. He put him to sleep. He put him to sleep and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. Now I love this because it was the rib. He didn't take Eve from the head, showing him to be the superior over her. Nor did he take her from the lower down around the feet so he could walk on her and put her into subjection. No, he took her from right up here in the middle as an equal. He removed that rib. Now, this is out of my league here. I have no idea how he did this, but he took one of his ribs, that's Adam's ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into the woman. Now remember, he made the woman different than he made Adam. Remember, he breathed into Adam the breath of lives. But here he made the woman, took her from the man. And he formed the woman, and he brought her to the man. Now in verse 23. Listen to this. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. How romantic is that? Is that appealing to you ladies? Doesn't do a thing for me. Dr. Howard Hendricks years ago, we heard him about 44 years ago. He was doing a marriage conference. He spoke on this and he read that passage and he said, oh, isn't that delightful? She's now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Oh, wow. He said, that's not what the Hebrew says. You know what the Hebrew says? Wow! Where have you been all my life? That's a Dick Hill translation. That's my Hebrew. But that's what it really says. Wow! Now, here, at last, I've got someone to meet my demands, my call that I'm putting out. I've got someone like me. I've got a mate. And that's what that says. And to me, that's awesome. Therefore, the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now here's the point about this. All right. Think about this. Adam, or God rather, took Eve. He removed a rib from Adam, right? So that makes Adam incomplete. Why? He's one rib short. So he's incomplete, right? And until he gets his rib back, that makes him complete. Now he's one flesh. Isn't that amazing? Is God a genius or what? I couldn't make this stuff up. It is incredible. It is fascinating to me. And that's what he says here. And they shall become one flesh. They're one. You see, when she's not here and away from me, then I'm only half a person. That's true. I become a whole person when we're together. And the same is true with her. Because see, I also came from her. I was born of a woman, right? You ever get that idea? I had a mama. I came from her, but she came from him. So they came back together as one flesh. And they shall be one flesh. We're one. Linda and I are one. And I can't make it without her. I've already found that out. I can't. I can't make it through a day without her.
Let's do this verse 25 because this is important. It says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife. And I love this. And they were not ashamed. Now, once again, I want you to realize that Adam here, the best way I can say this is he's in charge because, that is, he's responsible totally to God. That's his responsibility. He is to be plugged into God. He is to build that, cultivate that close, personal, private, intimate relationship with God. This is the man now. And develop a love for him, desire to serve him, live for him. And the woman, because she was taken from the man, she serves God, watch this, through the instrumentality of the man. As she loves him, submits to him. That word submit, by the way, is hupotasso. I wrote my master's thesis at Dallas on submission. I'm glad I did. Because that submission is a voluntary submission. Please keep that word in your mind. It's not like the husband is a caveman and he drags his wife around by her hair and he demands her cook the food and sweep the floors and clean the house and all that. That's nothing even close to what God had in mind. She serves the Lord through her sweet spirit, her submission to him. She worships God that way, through him. Now, here's where the problem usually falls apart. Because the man, on the other hand, should be submissive to whom? God. And you know, I found this in my ministry. When a man is thoroughly, unequivocally, without any reservation, totally sold out to Almighty God with his life, and he really means that, and he lives that way in his home, and he disciplines his children, he's responsible for that, and he loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Now, I could live with that, but that's the next part. And gave himself for her. He'd be willing to die for her. I don't know about you, but if I was a woman, I'd follow that man anywhere. What about you? If he said, if I came in one night and I said, sweetheart, pack up, we're going to Afghanistan. Let's go. If that's where God is leading you, then that's where God is leading me. I'll never do that, by the way. But I'm just making a point. This formula breaks down right there, usually. And, you know, I get on the men a lot for that reason. I said, you've got to be committed to Jesus Christ. You've got to go to love the Lord, love God, to the point that your wife sees that in you. And you're a testimony to her. And
That's how this team works. That's how this one body is to work. And I hope that makes sense to you. Let's pray.
Well, Father, I pray that we would put in our mind tonight that test that you have given to Adam to not eat of the tree. You give it to Adam and to Eve. Don't eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the first negative command, Father, in the Bible. The first negative command and the first penalty. And the first time the word death is used. Because if you eat, when you eat, at the moment that you eat, you will surely most positively die. Put that in our thinking, Father. Thank you for our study tonight. May it prove to be valuable in the coming months and years of our life. Bring back the words in our mind that you want to be there. And thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen.